Thank you, Brother Brian, for leading us this morning. Thank you for singing out like you have done, and we do appreciate that. Open your Bibles today, please, to the two places. I'm going to have you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to have you turn also to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then 2 Samuel chapter 23. Chapter 2, fellas. I have the wrong listing on that. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. They have it right, I have it wrong. 2 Timothy chapter 2. While you're turning in your Bibles, just a way of prayer request, pray for Brother Joe Creek and his family. Brother Joe, his brother passed away, and he's lost two siblings in a matter of just a few weeks. So please pray for Brother Joe Creek and Marie and their family. And I know they are dear to us and we love them. And you pray for them as they're dealing with that right now. So, all right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. We're preaching on the subject today, a good soldier. A good soldier, just as we as Americans understand the importance, or we should understand the importance and value of our military. We also, when you come to Scripture, we see that the Lord Jesus speaks much about a soldier. The Apostle Paul, of course, by way of context, he's writing to a young pastor in his letter in 1st and 2nd Timothy. And here in 2nd Timothy, the Apostle Paul uses the imagery of a soldier in comparison as far as to parallel what it means to serve Jesus and to be faithful and to take a stand for righteousness and be a man or a woman of God that really values God's word and tries to live by the principles and precepts that are therein. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, this is the passage we'll read together. The Bible says, Paul writes, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We pray, dear Lord Jesus, for Brother Joe Creek at this moment, and we pray, God, that you will continue to be with him and Marie and their family. And Lord, he suffered the loss of two siblings in less than a month. And Father, I just ask that you'll be with Brother Joe and give him grace, be with his family, be with all those, Lord, that are grieving today, extended family. And Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy in our life. We also thank you, Lord, today for the privilege we have of being an American citizen. We rejoice, Lord God, of all nations we could have been born in. You saw fit, God, to allow us to be here. Whether we were born here or we came as an immigrant and now are an American citizen, Father, we thank you for that. And Father, may we be grateful. May we never take for granted the freedoms that we hold dear. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want you now to go to 2 Samuel chapter 23, 2 Samuel chapter 23. We won't necessarily expound on what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, but I will add now, we come to a portion of Scripture that really illustrates and shows us an example of a good soldier. The story, the context, of course, these are what are known as the list of names that we're going to talk about today. They were David's mighty men. David, of course, being king, he had these mighty men that would fight for him, and they were loyal to him, and they were, but as you study, if you look at their lives and how they came about to be as mighty men, they were just kind of a ragtag group of soldiers. Just kind of a ragtag, kind of perhaps some ostracized from society, but that they understood who David was. They understood that he was going to be their commander-in-chief, and he was going to lead them, and they were going to pledge allegiance to them. The story in this text tells us, and as you, if we won't, but if you were to read toward the latter part of this chapter, in the past verse 13 and following, there were a couple of the soldiers, when David is fleeing for his life, David makes a statement. He said, "Oh, that I wish I had a drink of the well of Bethlehem, you know, water from the well of Bethlehem." And two soldiers of his, these mighty men, they go and they get the water, and they come back and they go through the enemy and they bring it back to David. But David understood the sacrifice, and he understood their commitment, if you were in studying his mighty men. And David then says, "I can't do it. I can't drink this," because so he pours it out. He pours that water out, something very precious to him. He pours it out as a drink offering to the Lord Jesus. They were good soldiers. And today we're going to talk about one by the name of Shammah, who literally is a soldier that stands in the middle of, Bible scholars seem, some agree, that this perhaps is just simply a pea patch, if you will. A very insignificant to some. Peas, as far as in this context, was often the food of the commoner. It wasn't the food of royalty. It wasn't the food of the elite. It was just the food for common people. Not worth much. But Shammah understood a principle. He understood that what God had given him, hear me, he understood that what God had given him, it was worth fighting for. We as United States of America, I have no hesitation in telling you the freedoms that we have today, it's because God gave it to us. And the freedoms that we're able to keep today, it's not only because God gave them to us, it's also because of soldiers, men and women, who are willing to lay down their life if necessary in the defense of the Constitution of our land against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So we come now to this tremendous portion of Scripture, and I want you to notice in verse 8 of our text, 2 Samuel 23, verse 8, it says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite." And he begins to describe for us some of the battles that they won. "He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time." Wow. What a story. Amen. We don't need Hollywood to portray for us what a great storyline would have been. The Bible has many tremendous stories. So this man, this Tachmonite, who's one of David's mighty men, his Adino, the name, he lifts up his spear and he defends 800 at one time. Verse 9 says, "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo." How would you like to have a dad named Dodo? "The Aoite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, and he arose and smote the Philistines with his until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord brought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil." So you see, and some things are unfolding. God, in his grace and mercy, he's letting us into the lives of these mighty men. But as you'll see, just by their names, and we don't have time to really go into it, just by the mention of their name, you'll find that many of these men were just simply commoners. They were just common people. But they were common people. Look up here for a minute. They were common people, these warriors that became warriors. They were common people who had sold out, in a good way, to a cause that is much greater than themselves. In the history of our 240 years as a nation, I'm grateful to God for the grace of God on our nation. But I'm also, and I mean this, and I've said this repeatedly today, but I did it for a reason. I'm grateful to God, ladies and gentlemen, for the men and women that have sold out to a cause that is much greater than themselves. Young people, and I say this to you today, the simple fact that you're able to sit in a church like this and hear one of the greatest preachers in America. Leslie wrote that on my notes there. Sorry. You gotta screen it when Buttercup gets a hold of your outline. You gotta be careful there. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. The reason you as teenagers are able to sit in a service like this and hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and exercise your constitutional right of freedom of religion is because of the grace of God, yes, but it's also because of the soldier who is willing to lay down his life if necessary to keep the freedoms that we hold dear a reality. I think our soldiers do not deserve another round of applause. We go on, and the Bible tells us, and this is where we will draw our text today. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi. I would like to have a dad, not Dodo, but a dad named Agi. The Hararite. And the Philistines. Now the Philistines, you know, you don't have to be a Bible scholar, but the Philistines, as you and I understand, they were the enemies of God. They were the enemies of God's chosen nation, the nation of Israel. May I say that just as God had brought into existence the nation of Israel by his grace and mercy, there has always been enemies to that nation. But just as God in his grace and mercy has brought the United States of America into existence, there has always been enemies of our country. I was thrilled this week that one of the things, of course, after the election and Donald Trump, I'm 44 years old, and I'll just be honest with you, never in my life would I have ever thought that a man by the name of Donald Trump could become president. But you know, and again, Ms. Lois, honestly, truly, and young people, that again just shows you another great aspect of our country. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter your status in society. It doesn't matter. And this is this first time in the history of our nation, you don't even have to be an elected official to reach the presidency of the United States of America. Now, there are those in our country that will tell you that we are a democracy. That's not true. A democracy, if you understand what a democracy is, now we have some democratic principles, but please hear my heart. A democracy, if you study it out to its finest, a democracy is simply mob rule. If 51% of the people get the vote, then that, of course, makes... That's mob rule. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. And there's a big difference there. But when you come to this portion of Scripture, these ordinary men, but yet God, and the Bible even said already, in one of the battles, the Bible said that the Lord wrought a great victory that day. These men were fighting for a cause far greater than themselves, much greater than themselves. It amazes me. I mean, I'll be honest, I see humor in it, but so we've talked about freedom of religion. Another constitutional right is freedom of speech. And there are a lot of people that are protesting. I'll just be honest. When I saw Miley Cyrus's video, teenagers were like, what video? Came in like a wrecking ball? No, not that video. So, preacher, you know what that stuff is? Oh, I'm cool. I'm cool, man. You have no idea how cool I am. My boys are like, Dad, you ain't cool. Yes, I am. Shut up, teenagers. I ain't supposed to say shut up. But Miley Cyrus is crying and boo-hooing. And celebrities are crying and boo-hooing. It has nothing to do with who got in the office. But then you had a lot of, before the election, you had a lot of actors and stuff, so they were and musicians, and they said, I'm leaving America. If Donald Trump wins the election, I'm leaving America. Well, first of all, let me just say something to you. America, the ideology of America and the freedoms that we enjoy, they're far greater than any political party. They're far greater than any political party. But I said to my wife, I said, yeah, the ones that want to leave America, but they're not going to leave. That's because they made their money in America. And have you noticed? They're all backpedaling now. I'm not going to leave America. I got to be a voice for the people. My boys are like, for the love of God, Dad did not just do what he just did, Toby. My goal in life is to embarrass my kids. My boy says, you do a good job of it, Dad. Freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. The ones that are voicing there, and hey, that's okay. Your voice, the right to protest and all that. But you hear the news, they say peaceful protest. Well, peaceful protest, let me just stand on a soapbox just for a second. Peaceful protests do not give you the right to shut down highways and streets in our land. You say, what would you do with those? I would arrest every single one of them and charge them with that. So you say, Pastor, where are you going with this? Well, and again, I love this land. I love this land. I'm grateful to God of all the countries in America. I'm grateful to God to be an American. And that is not, you say, Preacher, yeah, but that sounds arrogant. No. All right, let's illustrate. To the ladies that are in this room. You realize in Saudi Arabia, today, if you lived in Saudi Arabia, you'd be covered up and they would only see your eyes. You realize in Saudi Arabia that you wouldn't have the right to vote in Saudi Arabia. It's amazing, our country. And to teenagers today, and I know teenagers are being inundated with all kinds of nonsense as far as our country. But I encourage you, young people, study our history. If you were to study the book of Deuteronomy over and over and over and over again, in chapter 4, around verse 13, around verse 23, around verse 11, other verses in that one chapter alone, the Lord Jesus, through Moses, and the book of Deuteronomy is just simply one sermon of Moses, if you will. And in that book of Deuteronomy, God had warned the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, only one of two nations founded by God. And as far as all that, another sermon, but over and over and over and over again, God, through Moses, was warning the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. He was warning them to not forget their founding. To not forget what they were founded on and why they were founded. I sidetrack, but I want to speak into this. Here's a biblical principle. And you can validate it. You can look it up for yourself. I was thrilled this week. Thrilled this week that our president-elect reached out to Netanyahu, the leader of the nation of Israel. I was thrilled. You say, yeah, but Pastor, why would he do that? Well, you got to understand something. Our nation was founded on Bible principles. You don't have to be a religious scholar to understand that. Just look through some of the founding documents. Look at some of the founding statements that a lot of our founders, statements that they made. Ben Franklin, when he was asked, he'd come out of the room and one of the ladies, it's in a book, I actually have the book on my iPad, and one of the statements was said of Ben Franklin when he was asked, what did you give us? A lady asked him, Mr. Franklin, what did you give us as United States of America? And Ben Franklin is quoted as saying, we've given you a republic if she can keep it, if you can keep it. Not everybody voted for it. Not everybody voted for the concept. Not everybody, you know, was in favor of that because they feared that if you put that much power, and this is why it's a republic, and this is one idea that we are a republic, if you put that much power, if you will, in the people, there were some that were scared of that. There were some that were nervous of that. But I'm grateful, ladies and gentlemen, that yes, we're founded on biblical principle, and because of that, here's why you say, Preacher, why were you grateful that Donald Trump, why are you grateful that he reached out to Benjamin Netanyahu to tell him that we are a friend of Israel? Why are you grateful for that? Let me tell you why I'm grateful for that. Young people, hear my heart. The reason I'm grateful for that is because the Word of God, God's Word declares, and it still is relevant. It still is a biblical truth. God says, I'll bless those that bless Israel. I will curse those that curse Israel. He said, Pastor, what should we do in the nation? What should we do with Israel? Stay her friend. Stay her friend. And back her with everything that we have. That's what we should do. You say, why, Pastor? I'll tell you why. Because God isn't done with her yet. It's still God's chosen nation. Study history. You start messing with Israel, bad things happen. You start messing with Israel, bad accidents happen in Mecca where cranes fall and kill thousands of people. Start messing with Israel, bad things happen. You say, that's just an accident. No, I believe it's a sovereign hand of God. A good soldier. Let me give you a few thoughts, and we'll just kind of develop it as we go through this. Notice, first of all, in the context of these verses, we're talking about Shammah today. We see, first of all, a good soldier. We see, number one, a stand that was significant. To be a good soldier, you have to know what you're standing for. Right? You have to know why you're standing. You know, I have many friends. One of my best friends, Chris Carr, he had gotten out of the military, and he actually went back into the military. And I appreciate it. I thanked him, man. I'm like, man, Chris, you're old. You're 44 years old, man. You're going back in. Are you crazy? So he said a lot of the younger soldiers call him an old man, and rightfully so. But he went back in. But as a soldier, you have to know what you're standing for. And when you come to this text, you see Shammah, he's standing for something. The Bible tells us, and I'll read it, and then we'll just make a few comments. And I really hope it's of interest to you today, to our teenagers and our college kids who are bombarded with liberal ideology. You're bombarded with a nonsense that America is a big bully and all this kind of stupid stuff that's coming down the pike. Listen, friend, the very fact that those college kids, who most of them are riding on mom and dad's coattails, can I get a witness in the building? I'm telling you, I laughed. There are colleges across our land that canceled schools. They canceled. Oh, honey, you're just so upset. We're not going to make you take your test today. I wish I'd have tried that when I was a teenager. And then there was a Babylonian Bee, I think it's called. It's all kind of fiction, but they basically brought out the thought that what happened on our college campuses, it is the result, I'm telling you it's true, it is the result of decades of the idea that everybody gets a trophy. No, no, no. Ryan Massey even said it. Those who say, well, and I know, listen, I know, you said, preacher, you're just a dinosaur. No, 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 hear me. Hear me for a minute. My boy's like, yeah, you're a dinosaur. Preach, brother, preach. But some of the schools, when the kids are little, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. When the kids were little and they would play those little games, or soccer games and football games, and they'd be over. And then they'd say, what's the score? Oh, we don't keep score. I guarantee you those kids are. And I guarantee you their dads are. Right? Everybody gets a trophy. No, 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 no. Not everybody does. No, not everybody gets a trophy. We're going to give you the participation award. Wow. We're going to give you the participation award. Let me tell you what that means. You basically showed up and you had a pulse. That's what that means. So when you get that participation award that you're so proud of, realize, so did Johnny that slept through the whole entire thing. Right? Oh, we got to cancel school. Kids are upset.
Let me tell you what I tell them. Rub some dirt on it and get over it, brother. Amen? Sissies. We're raising a generation of wimps, man. A generation of sissies. Oh, I didn't. Here's what. Let me illustrate. My boy's like, Dad, please stop. It's the ones that are running around here, and here's what they're doing. It reminds me of a toddler when our kids were little. It really does. It reminds me when our kids were little, and they were running around, and they wanted their way. Let me just say something to you. Life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. It isn't fair. So, vote. Christy, you ain't mad, are you? Oh, she's mad. She's sick of sitting over here. She's sitting over here. At least she said she was mad. We're going to give an invitation at the end. You can get your heart right with God. A stand that was significant. The Bible tells us in verse 11, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. Young people, that's just simply a pea patch. That's what some Bible scholars think it is. Just simply a patch of ground where they grew peas. Seemed insignificant, didn't it? And the Bible tells us, and the people fled from the Philistines. So here he is, Shammah's in the middle of this ground of peas, this pea patch. The Philistine armies come up. And everybody but Shammah flees. I can see there were many in that. There were many in my mind as I see in Israel when the Philistines were coming. There were many that perhaps were standing there saying, I ain't dying over a bunch of peas, man. I'm not dying for a bunch of peas. Number one, I hate peas, and I hate peas. The only thing peas are good for is putting them on the end of your fork or end of your knife and flinging them at the person next to you. And then when it happens, you point at your brother or sister, right? You say, preacher, peas are good. No, your dog won't even eat peas, right? Your dog is carnivore. He won't eat peas. My ferocious dog, true story. I have two Mexican pit bulls and one shih tzu. My two Mexican pit bulls are, as they're known in America, chihuahuas. I'm not being stereotypical. But this is the truth. This is the honest truth. But Tommy, I walked in the house yesterday, and Portia, doesn't that sound tough? Portia, my little white Mexican pit bull. I promise you, Larry, this is the truth. I walk in, and Portia, all over the right side of her face, this is a true story, she's got hot sauce. Hot sauce. And I look at her, and she's looking up at me. She knew she was in trouble. I'm like, what in the world? What are you doing? Well, Cameron comes in. You know how teenage boys are. I said, Cameron, what is that on her face? Before we realized what it was. I said, what is it on her face? Cameron goes, hot sauce. I said, where in the world did she get hot sauce? He said, Dad, she must have got a package of hot sauce from Taco Bell. I'm thinking, she's driving to Taco Bell now? No, one of these heathen boys that live in my house, they left their bag of Taco Bell down, and my dog got into the hot sauce. But you know what? I'm thankful to live in America. To be able to have a dog that if she wants to eat hot sauce, she can eat hot sauce. And I'm going to support her in that decision. You like tacos? You like hot sauce. It seemed insignificant. But Shammah knew. He knew some things. He's going to stand in the middle of that pea patch, and he's going to defend it. Why? Let me give you a couple thoughts under that. He's going to defend it, letter A, because he was placed there. That's why. He was placed there. You know when 9/11 happened? It was a horrific event in our history. I think they saw, and I should have it in my notes, but I didn't write it down, so I'm going by memory. Over 3,000 people, I think they said, was killed. Right? 3,000 people were killed. Terrorist attack. Man, they had infiltrated our country. They got into our airplanes. And there was a fear, Brother Tommy. There was a fear across our land when that day happened. I remember it like it was yesterday. But you know what also was fascinating to me? In the days and weeks following 9/11, the military recruiting offices were overwhelmed
with men and women that were coming in the door to sign up and fight against that ideology. You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that, so many things that are great of our country, and I usually see it in a parallel of this passage of Scripture. To some, a lot of the values that we hold dear, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, those things, just name a few, the ideology that all men are created equal. Amen? All men are created equal. That ideology, to some, it may seem insignificant, but not to the American soldier. The American soldier will go into the battle because he's called upon by his commander-in-chief. The American soldier, those in armed forces, they'll deploy all over this world when summoned by their commanders. Why? To some, it's insignificant. So many things in my mind today. I can't go all of them. Or we'll never get out of here. A stand was significant. Why? Because he was placed there. Shammah was dedicated to defending it. He was determined to defending it, even if it cost him his life. How would you have thought? What would you have thought if you're the average Israelite that day? What would you have thought if you were running away and all of a sudden you turn back and there's Shammah? The son of a man named Aggie. And he's standing right in the middle of it. The Philistine army, don't miss this. The Philistine army, no doubt, in a military strategy, there's no doubt in my mind, they had surrounded him. And brother, he gives them a licking, man. Let me say it like we'd say down home. He kicks their hind end is what he does. You said, preacher, yeah, what would you imagine? The mindset of the average Israeli that day as they look back. What are you doing, Shammah? Are you crazy? Stay with me. Everybody in our land's not for this. It doesn't matter. I'm going to stand and defend this because God's placed me here. You say, preacher, but it was just a bunch of peas. No, it was more than that, young people. It was a patch of peas that was given to the people of God by God himself. The liberties that we hold dear, fought for by courageous men, they were given to us by our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago in the Atlanta airport, myself and Rob Smith, at that time my assistant pastor, flew into Atlanta. We're flying out of Atlanta. And in Atlanta, big airport, man, there's dozens and dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of men and women in their uniform, military uniforms. Even had the privilege of sitting and talking with one of the highest ranked military officers in Fort Bragg. He's a great man. Knew the Lord as his Savior. He was the Brigadier General. No, I'm sorry. Command. I started to say Sergeant Major. That may have been it. But he was a commander. Had thousands of men under his command. I still have his business card. And I was talking to him. I said, sir, I said, if you don't mind me asking, I said, how much do you rely on your relationship with Jesus Christ in your field, what you do? He said to me, more than you realize, son. More than you realize. And I was grateful for him. And I remember talking to another soldier. I stopped him as he was walking. I said, hey, soldier, I said, if you don't mind me asking. I said, first of all, thank you for your service. And by the way, I encourage young people, get in the habit of when you see people in their uniforms, their armed force uniforms, just go up and thank them for what they do. You say, preacher, what am I going to thank them for? I tell, let's start here. Thank them that you're able to come to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church and exercise your freedom of religion. That's one. And I stopped as I was speaking with that young man. I said, son, if you don't mind me asking, I said, I said, the Bible, I said, has much and speaks much of being a soldier and speaks much of military. I said, if you don't mind me asking, I said, what in your opinion and your observation, I said, what is the most difficult challenge that you have? And honestly, when I asked that question, I mean, my thought process would have been, you know, no doubt he was accustomed to war. And matter of fact, and listen to what he said. He said, honestly, sir, he said, being away from my family. Listen to what he said. Adrian, you were there, bud. You've been over in Afghanistan. This is what he said. He said, sir, he said, I'll be honest. He said, you get used to the bombs going off. You get used to the bullets flying. He said, but you never get used to being away from your family. Young people, adults alike. You say, yeah, but preacher, I'm not for the war. I could care less if you're for it or not. But what we ought to be for is our men and women of our armed forces. Amen? Be thankful. So Shammah, he stands there. This pea patch was given to the people of God. The enemy wasn't going to get it. He prospered there. The Bible said in that verse, it was ground, verse 11, latter couple sentences, it says, was a piece of ground full of lentils. It was not only a pea patch, it was full of lentils. God's people, no doubt, knowing a little bit of agriculture, raised in my grandparents' home who were huge into planting gardens and preparing land and huge into that. And knowing a little bit of that in my childhood, as I see this text, when the Bible says it was a piece of ground that was full of lentils, that means and that tells me some things. It tells me that the people of God, God's people, had planted that, had prepared it, had toiled over it, had weeded that garden, had no doubt removed the rocks, removed all of the things and the weeds that would have choked out the harvest. And for that to have a ground full of lentils meant that the people of God had invested time into that. A good garden didn't just happen. It took a lot of hard work. It took a lot of dedication. It took a lot of effort. It took a lot of weeding. It took a lot of watering. It took a lot of effort. And Shammah says, I'm going to stay here. This is my pea patch. This is a pea patch that is representative of the hand of God on our nation. Thank you to the American soldier who's a good soldier who, in the minds of many, insignificant. In the minds of many, freedom of religion, insignificant. No, friend. It's very significant. There is untold nations today that would give anything to have what you and I have, just in the simple principle of freedom of religion. There are some religions, there are some countries, and you can find it for yourself, you can search it out. There are some countries in our world that you have to be a certain religion to live. If they find that you're a Christian, they'll have you killed. Convert to Islam, convert to this religion, or die. We're very blessed as American people. We see a stand that was significant. Secondly, we see a soldier who was steadfast. A soldier who was steadfast. Verse 11 tells us, and the Philistines gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground. And notice the last sentence. And the people fled from the Philistines, except for Shammah. Shammah, steadfast. Steadfast simply means resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering. Shammah was a mighty man of God. He was a mighty man, a mighty warrior for King David. And he's not going to give up. He's not going to get let down. He's not going to give in to the enemy. And I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, to be part of a country that will not give in to any enemy. That will not give in to any enemy that tries to threaten our peace and our safety and our freedoms that we enjoy and we hold dear. Many people with him until the enemy showed up. However, Shammah stayed where the king had placed him. And that's a good word. He stayed where the king had placed him.
He had courage. Something had gripped his heart. You see, in order for him to stand in that pea patch, there was something that had to have a hold of his heart. And I think it was the fact that God had given them that land. God had blessed them with that spoil. God had blessed them with that harvest. And he wasn't going to let any enemy take it away from God's people. Thank God for the soldiers, men and women in armed forces who understand the values that we hold dear. Simply freedom of religion, freedom of speech, just to name a couple of those. He had courage. He had conviction. I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that Shammah believed in something. You know, in our country, with a bunch of sissified college kids, you say, I'm a college kid. Well, don't be a sissy. Don't be a sissy, Kristen. No, wimps. You say, preacher, you're being kind of mean-spirited. Whining. You see what they're doing now? This cracked me up. The big thing, and now they came out with it. I don't know who started it, but I'm sure it was on college campus, liberal college campus, is a lot of people are wearing those baby pins. You ever seen those great big baby pins? They're putting those baby pins on their shirt, and here's what that means. If you see somebody wearing a baby pin, here's what that means. They're a safe person that you can talk to. Can you see Andy Daugherty with a baby pin on his shirt? I'm a safe person that you can talk to. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. I'm not going to be able to live. Well, we lived a lot longer. We've survived a lot worse as a country. And you got to understand, regardless of who is in office, Jesus is still Lord, and he is still the King of Kings. He is still sitting on his throne, and nothing catches him by surprise. I know as a pastor, and I hear my heart in this, I know as a pastor, I've pastored for over 20 years, I know as a pastor that the election for some was a wonderful thing. But I also know as a pastor, and I would not be naive, that the election for some, even in our church family, yes, it was great for some, but it was devastating for others. But hear me as your pastor, I still love both of you. I mean that. And I would never tell you who to vote for. It's none of my business who you vote for, period. I would never do that. You say, yeah, but as a pastor, no, I would never tell you who to vote for, who not to vote for. He had courage. He had conviction. But I want you to see the last thing, and we're done. Because he had courage, because it was a significant thing to stand for, because he was steadfast, we see, lastly, a Savior who was shown. A Savior who was shown. You say, where do you get that in this text? Well, look at verse 12. He stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. Now, let's flip the coin for a minute. Many of the Israelites were possibly thinking, Shammah, why in the world would you defend a pea patch? Well, because God gave it to us and nobody's taking it. I hold these truths to be self-evident, right? God's given it to us. But let's flip the coin. This is kind of humorous. Can you imagine being part of the Philistines and your buddy Earl dies in a pea patch? Right? Oh, we celebrate this soldier who died on the beaches of Normandy. We celebrate this soldier who died in Vietnam. We celebrate this soldier who died warring against Hitler. And we celebrate this soldier. You're giving a report. We celebrate this soldier. And all of a sudden you read it and you're thinking, what am I supposed to say here? We celebrate this soldier. Now you're a Philistine, right? You're a Philistine general. We celebrate this soldier who died in the battle of the pea patch. Can you imagine that? We're going to give him a Congressional Medal of Honor, and it's going to be in the form of a little pea, right? Whew. Right? Can you imagine? Now, I think that when I try to flesh stuff out in my mind, sometimes it gets me in trouble. But when I flesh it out in my mind, I see old Shammah standing in the midst of it, David. I see him standing there. He's got a sword. He's fighting. And all these Philistines are around. And maybe eventually they're thinking to themselves, are we nuts, man? It's Pete. We don't even like these stinking peas. And he kills them all. Can you imagine being, I just get humor in this. Can you imagine being the woman who gets the knock on the door, that you're a Philistine wife, and you get a knock on the door, say, honey, your husband died. Oh, did he die fighting? Did he die fighting for the king? No, he died. He died for a bowl of peas. I mean, you know, what else are you going to say? It's humorous to me. That's just kind of the way I track things. Maybe to some you don't see that, but and maybe that's why you get more out of the Bible, perhaps. But a Savior that was shown. He stood in the midst, verse 12, with the ground defended, and slew the Philistines. And the last sentence, and here it is. And the Lord wrought a great victory. The Lord wrought a great victory. Preacher, it was just a pea patch. No. It was more than a pea patch. It was given to them by God. You say, preacher, it's just freedom of religion. It's just freedom of speech. No. It's more than freedom of speech. It's more than freedom of religion. God gave us those victories. Life. I'm grateful for the platform that stands for life. I'm grateful for the ones that are now have reached out to the nation of Israel. Netanyahu even said, Trump is my friend. You say, yeah, but preacher, we don't know what's going to happen. No, you're absolutely right. You get a star on your chart. You're absolutely correct. We don't know what's going to happen. But this is what I do understand. If we get back to the principles that are found on God's Word, God may bring a revival to our land. He may do that. I still hold to the promise that Jesus gave the nation of Israel, his chosen nation. Yes, it was given to Israel. But I think you can also put side by side to that without distorting the text of it, the context of it, for the people of God. When Jesus said, if my people were to call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Jesus said, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin. And I'll wait, Lois. You're robbing me of my thunder, Lois. And heal their land. You say, Pastor, I'll be honest. I'm mad since the election. Okay. I've got a safety pin in my pocket. I'm gonna put it up here. I'm a safe person for you to talk. So, preacher, I'm mad about the election. Well, that may be the case, but here's what I'm grateful to God for. Regardless if your candidate won or your candidate lost, we are still the United States of America. A republic is we come together. Democracy, mob rule. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. And the voice has been stated. We should rally around, support. You say, preacher, I'm mad my candidate didn't get in. Okay, well, let me go to the Bible for a minute. You know what God's word doesn't suggest this. God's word commands that you and I, as God's people, pray for those that are in authority over us. God's word commands us to pray for our president. God's word commands it. I can't really mention his name. Well, tell God on him. You get mad at him, tell God on him. Tell God on him. Lord, I don't like his decision. Well, tell the Lord on him. But my prayer to God is that our president, honestly, my prayer to the Lord Jesus is that our president will seek God's direction for our country. Not liberal policy and liberal ideology and truthfully, pagan ideology, my prayer to God is that we will have a leadership in our nation that will stand on this book. I mean that. That will stand on this. That will support Israel and back Israel. See, yeah, it's just one little nation. Yeah, they're one little nation with a big God on their side. Is what they are.
To some it seems insignificant. No, no, no. It was a pea patch given to the people of God by God himself. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. If you're here today and do not know Jesus, sweet friend, I encourage you right now to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. If you'll call upon him, he'll save you. Maybe you are saved, but you've never been baptized. We'd love to baptize you. You can become part of the local New Testament church. We can serve God with us. We encourage you to do that. Maybe you'd like to come, honestly. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just pray for our nation. Whether your candidate won or whether he didn't, she didn't win. Maybe you'd just like to come and pray for our nation. You owe it, as a believer in Jesus, if you're saved, you owe it to the office of the president to pray for him. And why did Jesus say pray for him? Let me tell you why Jesus said it. He said, so that you'll lead a quiet and peaceful life. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said to pray for him. So that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life. That's what I want, don't you? You come as we sing. What's the number, Brian?
403. 403.